It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for being with me. As happens from time to time, I'm on location. In this case, I'm on location in Houma, Louisiana. I'll get to that in a second as to why I wish I was casting a line in the water, but not yet. Friday, I had the great pleasure, honor really, John Landecker called me and asked me to be on a show on Friday evening, which I did. So, John, thank you so much, and thank you for giving your listeners and all of WGN listeners the opportunity to hear a little bit more about what the Great Outdoors Show is doing, and in particular, why I'm in New Orleans. But I'll come to why I'm in New Orleans in a moment. But first, I had planned today to do a lengthy show on the great conservation efforts of Johnny Morris, who is the founder of Bass Pro Shops. And I'll have a chance to do that in the future with Martin McDonald, who's been with Bass Pro and Johnny Morris almost since inception, maybe, over 50 years ago. But what I wanted to do is to say that I visited the most remarkable museum the other day in Springfield, Missouri, the Wonders of Wildlife Museum and Aquarium, which was built by Johnny Morris. And it's right next to their Bass Pro largest store in the world. But that's really only part of the story. The real part of the story is Johnny Morris, which I'll get to in the coming weeks. But when we think of individuals, which I often do on this show and talk about them, who are making a profound difference for conservation, we often overlook those who we think of being in the retail business, but who really are in the passion business. And Johnny Morris, the founder of Bass Pro Shops, is in the conservation passion business. You think of all the other retailers in the country and their chief executives come and go, and it's all about money and corporate earnings and quarter to quarter. For Johnny Morris, no, it's about the future of conservation. And I think of Yvon Chouinard with Patagonia and his pledge to save the planet with a percentage of their proceeds. Johnny Morris has been doing this for 50 years, and he doesn't do it for publicity. You'd have a very hard time finding that Johnny Morris is giving away over time tens, if maybe not hundreds of millions of dollars to conservation causes, because he's the real deal. He loves to fish. That's why Bass Pro Shops started. He loves to hunt. He loves the outdoors. And everything that Bass Pro Shops is doing, and this was really became apparent when I went into the Wonders of Wildlife Museum and Aquarium, was Johnny Morris built entirely himself as a tribute to the outdoors and the people of America who have made conservation possible. Other people don't do that. It's not a monument to Johnny Morris, not paid for by taxpayers. No, it's paid for because Johnny Morris loves the outdoors. And that had me thinking quite a bit in recent days about how we as conservationists can have our own influence. So as you know, I don't do advertisements for other people on this show. I never have, and I never will. But I will say this. If you have a choice of going to a store or going online and buying something and simply sending the proceeds from that purchase to a company in the outdoor space, or you have the opportunity to go into a store, Bass Pro Store, or go online, you know that that purchase is helping conservation. And Johnny Morris has offered for years the opportunity to round up. Every time you purchase something from Bass Pro, you have the opportunity to round up for conservation. It has equaled over time now just a tremendous amount of money, many, many, many millions of dollars going to conservation organizations that are doing good work. And all of it without a lot of fanfare and acclaim. So it struck me in this world of mergers and everything that's going on, online retail, the whole thing, that when you get right down to it, some of the most fundamental strides we're going to make to advance conservation come from people who own businesses because it's their life passion, not because they wanted to make a lot of money. Johnny Morris was successful in building Bass Pro Shops, not because he wanted to make a lot of money. He was successful because it was his passion. He wanted originally to provide the best bass fishing lures he could to a marketplace that didn't have them. Professional fishermen could get the best bass fishing lures they could find, and Johnny Morris at one time was a professional bass fisherman. But the rest of us couldn't. So that's how Bass Pro started. And in the ensuing now 50-plus years, that mentality of being connected to sportsmen and women, being connected to people in the outdoors, has really been the driver. So, yes, Johnny Morris turned out to be, and no surprise, a phenomenal businessman. He has one of the great marketing creative minds there'll ever be. And when you go into a Bass Pro store, it's not walking up and down aisles. It is being immersed in conservation, just the entire layout of the stores. And what kind of a store gives prime real estate, retail real estate up to put a tree up or put a bear up or put an aquarium in? Johnny Morris made shopping an experience. And if you're in Illinois, you don't need to go any further than up to Gurnee Mills to know that. And then and all the Bass Pro stores that are built around Peoria and all over the Chicagoland area now. And, of course, Bass Pro purchased Cabela's. But it's an experience. You don't walk in, not slighting them, but you don't walk into Walmart or Target and have anything but a shopping experience, aisle after aisle after aisle. There's nothing to the imagination there except for how far can you walk and how few people can you find to help you when you're trying to find something. You go into a Bass Pro store, and it's an immersion in the outdoors and an immersion in the heritage of hunting and fishing and conservation. And you can't help but walk out of there wanting to support the future of conservation. And that's what struck me about the Wonders of Wildlife Museum and Aquarium, which is, in its own merit, world-class. I would argue perhaps the most interesting museum of its kind, genre, anywhere in the world. There display that they did with the NRA on guns is just unbelievable. The representation of Native Americans when you come into the museum, the coming up an escalator and having the sound and vision of a herd of buffalo charging at you, it's an experience. It's an experience to have you become immersed in the outdoors. So I had a bit of an epiphany the other day. You can shop lots of places, but if you want to shop for conservation and you want to further the things that we believe of, there's one guy who's leading the way and making sure that we can hunt and fish and have quality outdoor places to go without fanfare, and that's Johnny Morris. And his Roundup Fund has just put so much money back into conservation organizations and the habitat. So I really came away realizing, you know, you can shop anywhere, you can look for the best price. But if you want to return something to conservation, there's only one entity today in really in the big space on a big scale that's doing that. And it's because of his personal belief that we're all in this together and that water goes downstream and that conservation is funded by people who hunt and fish and care about the outdoors. And that's really what struck me crystal clear. It's been his life's mission. He's really good at it, and he's given back perhaps more than anyone alive today. And when you walk through the museum, you see a great testimonial to Teddy Roosevelt and his vision for conservation. Teddy Roosevelt was president of the United States. He could get a lot of things done, and he did get a lot done. And we owe him such a debt of gratitude. Johnny Morris simply dug into his pockets and paid for conservation to excel. That's a rare feat in today's world of commerce and profits. So go to Springfield, go to the museum. You will absolutely be spellbound by what you see in the Wonders of Wildlife Museum and Aquarium. And in the coming weeks, we'll have an opportunity to talk a little bit more about how the vision of Johnny Morris is going to go on for generations to come. It's a great story in the outdoors. And I like to do great stories about really wonderful people who make hunting and fishing possible. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in just a moment. When I do, we'll talk about something I've been talking a little bit about, and that's plastics. You are listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsor, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Thank you for being with me. Plastics. I have talked a lot about it over the years, and there's more and more being written about it all the time, which is wonderful. And it's not about how wonderful plastics are. It's about how they are messing up our environment and how they are producing legacy pollutants that are in just about everything we do. And the Chicago Tribune had an article you hate to read. 86% of Great Lakes litter is plastic. Let me repeat that. 86% of the litter in the Great Lakes is plastic. And the plastic is just getting smaller and smaller. It makes you sick because, after all, we caused this. We let a bag blow out of a car. We let a top off of any kind of cup that you put a straw in. Top blows off. The straw blows away. Plastic. Plastic is everywhere. Plastic is in everything we use. It's an absolute essential element of our life, but it also could be incredibly destructive. And long-term, plastic is going to be the ruination of an awful lot of our waterways, and it even, as we know, gets into our drinking water. Heads down, I'm going to read you here. Heads down and attentively scanning the ground, a small group of school children walked through an expanse of grass dotted with yellow dandelions towards the concrete steps leading to Lake Michigan. What did they find? Cardinals, seagulls, woodpeckers, owls, the kids yelled out. They also found plastic, and they found plastic in all kinds of form. Previous estimates and computer simulations indicated that there could be as much as 22 million pounds of plastic debris entering the Great Lakes annually, and it was making up the litter composition 80% of the shoreline. Think about that. 80% of the litter on the beaches of Lake Michigan is in the form of plastic. Single-use bags, straws, wrappers, takeout containers, utensils, all these break up into much smaller plastic particles. And the tiniest of these is less than 5 millimeters long for the size of a pencil eraser, and even smaller. And they're known as microplastics, and they have been found in our drinking water, they've been found in our blood, they've been found in our organs, they've been found in the breast milk of women. Plastics are everywhere, and they're not at all obviously native to our environment, and they were caused by us. And one of the things that I hope happens in the coming years is that we figure out a way to realize that paper actually is really good. The products made from wood are part of our environment. Paper bags, paper milk cartons or cardboard milk cartons, everything made out of wood products is recyclable and does not cause the kind of legacy damages to our environment and really to our health that plastics does. Why is it you go into a store and they're happy to hand you a plastic bag and they'll charge you for using a paper bag? I think it has a lot to do with lobbying in Washington and the power of various industries, but there's no question that we have to make a change. And hopefully on the Great Outdoors Show, we help lead this. We have to make a change to wood products, related manufactured products, and we've got to get away from plastics. Sure, it's easier with plastics. Everything's easier. Shrink wrapping, the whole thing is easier because It's cheaper. But the legacy costs are simply awful. And the article goes on to say plastics are not disappearing. They're just getting smaller and smaller. We're finding them in just the most microscopic types of analysis of water. And we're putting that into our system. We can't even see these plastics anymore. They've broken down so to such a small level. And it ripples throughout the ecosystem. The Great Lakes are home to about 3,500 species of plants and animals, many of which are only found in the Great Lakes. And yet these animals, the fish and animals, are filtering plastics through their system or even eating plastics. So in the smallest cases of plastic litter, it looks a lot like fish eggs, which can confuse fish. And fish are eating them. And then birds eat the fish, and the plastics makes its way out in the lake through their systems, basically through the poop. Meyer said that birds also eat bright pieces of colorful plastic because they're attracted to it, and their stomachs feel full, and then they starve to death because the plastic constricts the ability of stomachs. This doesn't happen with paper products. I certainly hope in the coming years we'll have a much better discussion as well as knowledge as to the fact that paper products, products made from wood products, are good for the environment. Products made from plastic are bad for the environment. And maybe we're at the peak use of plastic in our society. Its use has grown into so many forms, it's almost impossible to think. You can't go a day without touching plastic in everything you do. Funny enough, you can go a day without touching wood products and a lot of things you do. I got about 30 seconds left. The word from the prairies, the key breeding ground for bird species in North America, continues to be three letters, dry. Actually, seven letters, very dry. Hopefully we'll get good news soon, but time is running out for nesting waterfowl and so many of the neotropical birds that depend on the prairie wetlands this year. One of those years when drought appears to have gripped the land. Thanks so much for being with me. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.